Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for another opportunity to stand here and preach the uncompromising word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, give me the strength that I need with all that was within me and with all that I have. Let me lay it all out on the table, dear Heavenly Father, that somebody in this church today or somebody that's picking us up online, dear Heavenly, might hear the word of God and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen the saints who are getting kind of waffly and wobbly right now, Lord, as the barrages from the world come at us. Strengthen us all, dear Heavenly Father, that we might glorify you in our Christian walk, in our Christian talk. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. 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 Today, got a question to start off with. Got a question for you. How many of you, when you were a child, you learned this prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of y'all have learned this? Okay. Now, can't none of y'all blame your parents for being the way you are. Okay. Amen. Hey, okay. Now, what's that next line? That next line says, give us this day our daily bread. It's not until you read the word of God that you really get a better understanding of what he's talking about when he says, give me my daily bread. As a child, I thought he was talking about a piece of toast. Okay, and give me another piece of toast, I'm good to go. I got my daily bread. But it's much more. It's much, much more than that. So if you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. The book of Exodus, chapter 16. You need to keep your Bibles open because we're going to be talking through the whole chapter of Exodus 16, but we're going to concentrate on verses 12 through 18. And it reads, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and doers and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we'll be talking about the miracle of manna. The miracle of manna, or in parentheses, you could say our daily bread. The miracle of manna. We've been told that a picture is worth a thousand words. And so since we didn't have any Kodak moments back during the book of Exodus, what the Lord does with us throughout the Bible, especially throughout the Old Covenant, he gives us word pictures. He gives us types. He gives us shadows of things to come. He makes it so that if you just look at the picture, you'll get the essence of what I'm talking about. You may not understand everything about what he's saying, but you, especially if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you will get the essence of being spoken. You will glean the truth out of these particular passages. At the start of, just prior to verse 16, what took place in the book of Exodus was truly one of the greatest events, one of the greatest single-time events in the history of mankind. God marched 3 million-plus Jews. He plucked them out of Satan's hand. Whenever you read about Egypt, that's the world. That's the enemy of God. The world is in. He plucked them out of the world, sanctified him to himself, crossed the Red Sea, and in one stroke, he destroyed all of their enemies, Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, and his people did not fire a shot. Don't look at this as a little bitty something. We have to understand what God did with the children of Israel when he plucked them out of the clutches of Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful nation on the face of the planet, folks. What God did was tantamount to Guatemala invading America and winning and plucking the people out that they wanted and take them back with them. That's what God did. And he did it for his people. He did it in front of their very eyes. But you know that song they just sang about, I can't go back, I won't go back? It's a tendency for God's folks. We have a real propensity to want to live in the past and go back. God just plucked them out of Egypt, drowned Pharaoh's army. He's marching them towards the promised land. They're not even out 3 days, and they start murmuring. They start grumbling. They start complaining. We don't have any water. Now, just a few days ago, you were getting whipped upside your head, dragging the water for everybody else, and now you're complaining to God because we don't have any water. So God had Moses give him water, pure water. You realize after they got that pure water, that's right at the end of verse 15. After they got that pure water, they were good for almost a whole 2.5 months. 400 years they were in bondage. 400 years in the bondage of slavery, in the bondage of the devil, in the bondage of the world. 400 years, God has you out. God brings you, delivers you. And in 2.5 months, he ain't done enough for me. The Bible tells us in verse 16, in chapter 16. First, we're going to talk about the debilitating effects of murmuring. The debilitating effects of murmuring. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, he says we spend way too much time. We spend an inordinate amount of time worrying about what I'm going to eat. Where am I going to sleep? And what am I going to wear? Oh, Lordy, 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 Lordy. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? Jesus says, let's go back to Exodus. We're talking about our daily bread. God says he'll give you. That's where the phrase comes from in Exodus 16. He says, I'll give you your daily bread. We're always wanting to know where is God. He says, just relax a minute. Just relax a minute. Stop worrying about your daily bread. He says, don't worry too much about tomorrow, because you got enough stuff going on today. Let us deal with this murmuring issue, this thing where the people of God, 2.5 months out now, 2.5 months, and they're consumed with, we don't have any bread. Look what they say. Chapter 16, verses 1. He says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. In verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Listen, looky here, looky here, looky here. 2.5 months after being brought out of 400 years of slavery. What, that song said, I can't go back, I won't go back. They've only been out 2.5 months. And they're speaking longingly about their good old days, about their glory days. Boy, did you, hey, man, brother, man, did you know when I played ball, I used to be this. Ooh, sister, girl, my waistline used to be like that. Ooh, just them glory days, glory days, glory days. When you spend an inordinate amount of time trying to relive and stay back in those so-called glory days, which mostly were just sin-filled days, that you now see glory in. Just like the children of Israel, they forget that whip on their back. They forget that the reason that Moses had to flee Egypt in the first place because he was trying to keep one of the masters from killing one of the brothers. They forget that. Oh, we used to sit by the flesh pots. And ooh, we had some home cooking. It was so good. You spend so much time, we as Christians, we spend so much time thinking about our glory days in the past that we miss the present life that God has given us and we jeopardize the future. I think the old saying is we're always a day late and a dollar short. While God is working in your life right now, while you have breath in your lungs and blood flowing through your veins, right now, God is saying, that's done. That's done. You made some mistakes. You did some things right. You probably did some things exceptionally well. But that's done. It's just like when Joshua had to take over from Moses. I mean, what a thing to have to do. Here was the greatest leader in the history of Judaism, Moses, the lawgiver. They just come over into the land. They cross the River Jordan, and now Joshua's in charge. And the first thing God says to Joshua is, okay, Moses is dead. Moses was a great man. Y'all did some good stuff. We did some good stuff. Moses is dead. Now, today, we got stuff to take care of. Today, God has a word for you. Today, God has work for you and me. But if you insist upon dwelling in the glory so-called days, you will miss the blessings of the daily bread that you're getting right now. You will miss the blessings that you're getting right now, and you won't see when the good stuff comes tomorrow. You won't see it. The debilitating effects of murmuring. Murmuring is sort of like tuberculosis. You know, tuberculosis is one of those diseases where if somebody just walks in the room who's got it, and they kind of cough and hack and wheeze, everybody in the room, he doesn't have to touch you. He doesn't have to come over and give you a kiss and a hug. But you walk into the room, if they have tuberculosis, you stand a great risk of being infected by it. Murmuring's the same way. You get any group of people, any disgruntled group of people on your job, they can poison the whole job site. Yeah, that boss, he ain't this, he ain't that, he don't know nothing. He's the boss, he knows more than you. Well, if I was in charge, and then next thing you know, the other person is saying, yeah, 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 that's right, that's right. That's what murmuring's like. Congregations, I've watched churches just get destroyed from the inside out. It's like a canker worm. It's like an infectious sore where one or two people get off in a little holy huddle and they say, yeah, you know this, you know, sister so-and-so, she don't dress like this, she don't, and that pastor, he thinks, and it just infects the whole group of people. And you see right here, God, 2.5 months. 2.5 months after God did just one of the most phenomenal things in the history of mankind. Man, we had it made back in Egypt. Murmuring, complaining, thinking about their glory days. I got a thought for you. Before you start murmuring about your situation, before you start murmuring and grumbling about this, about the plight that you're in right now, and I'm not even saying that you're not in some serious stuff, because we, in the fallen world, we get in some serious stuff, y'all. We have some serious heart-breaking, heart-wrenching situations. Some of our own doing, some not. But it still falls on you. But before you get to moaning and groaning too much, I want you to consider this. Just maybe that horrible trial that you're in, that horrible mess, that pain, consider this. Maybe it's a test. Maybe it's a test from God to see how faithful you'll be to Him. I don't know. See, when we read about Job, we're on this side of it. See, we get to read about it. Job had no idea what was going on. You ever think about that? Job had no idea what had befallen him. Job said, I was doing everything the way God told me to do it. I was doing my absolute best. I was a well-respected man about town. I was doing the best. And then, bam! The wheels came off. I dare say there's some of us in here who, in your wildest dreams, you'd never thought that this would happen. But I want you to consider, I'm going to tell you about the faithfulness of our Savior. And I want you to consider this, because God says, sometimes I'll push you. I'll push you to beyond what you think you can do, but I'll never put more on you than what you can bear. You may have thought at one time, I can't make it. But let's praise God. You're here. You're here. Y'all praise God because you're here. I'm broken. I'm battered. I'm bruised. But I'm here. And I'm Lord, and I just want to serve you because I can't see everything. Like I said, I can look at Job's situation on the flip side. I can see where Job lost everything he could possibly lose. But I'm not on the I'm not on the other side yet, Lord. I'm still on this side figuring what's going on. And he says, maybe, just maybe it's a test. And what would that test be? That test is, will you trust me? See, because God has told us he's faithful. See, the issue is never whether or not God is going to stand. That is never, ever, ever an issue as to whether God is going to come through. The X factor is us. Never God. And he's saying, I want you to know above all else, in the midst of your storms, I'm going to come through. And I've got to start teaching you that. I was watching Godson. Me and the brothers, we were looking at him. I said, man, it's just a little while ago we were able to tote little rascal just like this, put him right there, no problem. And now he walked by my office. That little joker walked past my office. Little bow legs. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness. And he's still walking kind of cautiously. But he's walking. And I guarantee you he's going to fall down a few times. But he's going to get back up. That's our Christian life, y'all. That's the Christian life. We're going to walk. We're going to stumble. Got to get back up. We can't wallow. We can't wallow in the muck and the mire of past mistakes. We can't wallow in, I wish it should have been, could have been, would have been. We can't wallow in that, y'all. Moses is dead. Now leave it alone. And let's move forward. And let's serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with praise and singing and thanksgiving. Don't come into church looking to get a lift. Come into church lifting. Amen. Could this be a test? Second part. I know y'all heard this. I just did this to humor myself. You know, you walk into the church or you walk into a club somewhere and you always hear somebody saying, turn that on, Carl.
Testing, 1, 2. Testing. Testing, 1, 2.
Maybe God's testing you. God is saying, chapter 16, verses 13 through 31, God is saying, start with verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost of the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord God hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord God hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. God told the children of Israel, he said, Moses, I'm going to give them a test. In verse 4, he says, Moses, at the end of verse 4, he said, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. God said, I'm going to give them a test. When you see this word murmuring in these first 12 verses, I think it is, first 12 verses, you see the word murmuring about 7 times. God, they're just complaining, complaining, complaining. But now God says, I'm going to give you a test. Here's God's test. Because again, the question is never whether or not God is faithful, but whether we are going to be obedient and walk in his ways. Are we going to be faithful? He said, tell them they're going to have quail and they're going to have food to eat. And the Bible says that when the heathen came, they looked on the ground and they saw this white stuff. It's little round white stuff, and it was all over the ground. Something they had never seen before. I dare say, until you start obeying God, once you start obeying God, you will see things that you've never seen before. God will do things in your life that you never thought possible. That's the test. God said, I'm going to test you now. And it says they looked on the ground and they saw this stuff all over the ground. Now, my granddaughter came into my, I thought about this illustration. My granddaughter came into my office and I was reading the newspaper. Now, you got to understand, she's 7 years old. She doesn't know what a newspaper is. She just uses computers all the time, uses computers. And so I'm sitting there and I'm reading the newspaper and she said, Papa, what is this? And I said, what do you mean, what is this? She goes, what is this? And I'm trying to read something to her off the paper. And she says, no, what is this? She meant the newspaper. She had never seen a newspaper. The children of Israel said, they saw this stuff on the ground. And they said, what is this? They had never seen it before. Old, young, in between. Nobody had ever seen it. And that's why they called it manna. Because manna means, what is this? I bet you they stayed up all night long trying to think of that name. What is this? And they see the manna on the ground. And Moses had to tell them, this is, you did ask for bread, right? That's what you did. You asked God for bread. You said, we love the flash pipe. You're in your glory days, you're looking back at all this hard work you had to do, but you're forgetting all the hard work, the whip that was attached to it. God said, here's the bread. Did anybody plow for that bread? Did anybody reap for that bread? This bread is a picture of Jesus Christ. This bread is a picture of salvation. Nobody in here worked for the salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. What is this? It's a gift. See, we ain't used to getting gifts. We figure if somebody give me something, he must be up to something. He must want something in return. You can't do nothing for God except for say thank you. I can't do nothing for God except for say thank you. They said, what is this? It was the answer to their prayers. It was actually the answer to their murmuring. But God told Moses, he said, Moses, you talk to him. And you tell them, here's another word that you're going to see, gather. Within these few verses here, you'll see the word gather 6 times. Gather. Why is he saying gather? Because God said he's going to do what he's going to do. Now, are you going to do what you're supposed to do? See, the bread is right there on the ground. Do you realize, like I said, that's just like salvation. You realize salvation is here for everybody. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. That's all you got to do. And look at the people. The Bible says they're going to walk over the blood of Jesus Christ. Won't y'all tell somebody about manna? Y'all tell somebody about daily bread. Y'all tell them about God's goodness. Tell them about God's faithfulness. Tell them about how when they asked God for bread, they said, Lord, we need some. And bam. It was right there. All they could eat. All they could eat. And it was free. Handed to you by God. Just like salvation. God, Jesus paid the price for everything. Salvation is free. All you got to do is gather it in. He said to the people here, I want each man to gather about an omer. Omer, O-M-E-R. He said, I want each man to gather about an omer of manna. Now, surely all you guys are, I know all you guys know that an omer is about 1/10 of an epa. Y'all know that, right? E-P-A-H. Well, let me put it in terms that we could probably grasp. An omer is about the size of 2 quarts, a 2-quart basket. When you go get strawberries, now you know what an omer is. When you go get strawberries, it's about 2 quart. It's in a quart thing. 2 of those. Or for those of us who are non-nutritionally inclined, 2 quarts of ice cream. Amen? Okay. So that's what an omer is. And he told everybody, he said, to go and gather each man an omer of manna. Key thing I want you to remember in this particular portion in the scripture, trust and obey. Trust and obey. You want to be blessed by God? Stop him-hawing around and trying and doing this and do it. Trust and obey. It's not rocket science. God said, here's the manna, go pick it up. Trust him and obey him and watch good things. Watch the things of God come and be manifest in your life. Just learn how to trust and obey. It doesn't come natural, and it doesn't come particularly easy. But we still have to learn how to trust and obey. This is part of the test. God is saying, will you rely on you, or will you rely on him? Because in our own minds, we always think we got a better way of doing things. We have people. I'm an employer. I've had crews before. And it's amazing. I've been doing my job for about 30 years. And I'll hire some guy, and he'll be there on the job with me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And then he'll say to me, well, hey, I got a better way of doing it. I say to him, you might have a better way of doing it, but why don't you just trust and obey me? This way I know will work. Just do what I told you to do, and I know it will work. And later on, we'll talk about your way. But why don't we start with just learning how to follow directions? You know, we get so used to talking back to people on the job and talking back to people here and there. When God speaks to us, we tell him, I think I got a better way. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God said, why don't you try this? Trust and obey. I know the beginning from the end. Just do it the way I tell you to do it, and I guarantee it's going to come out just the way God has it planned for you. He said, he told each man, he said, gather what you need, not a bit more, and do not gather on the Sabbath. This is the test. He said, only take what you need. And on Friday, I want you to gather twice as much so that you don't have to gather on the Sabbath. The Bible says, when they went out to gather, some of them, as folks are apt to do, I told you, the test is trust and obey. Well, hey, he told me to get 2 omers of this stuff. I got an extra basket here. I'll just slide someone into. I'll get 3 baskets because it's there. So God said, take what you need, only according to you and your household. Take what you need, your daily bread, and trust me for tomorrow. That's the picture, y'all. This is the picture that he's given us. Take what you need for today, and then let me worry about tomorrow. So what they did was they took it, and some of them stashed it a little bit more in their 3rd basket. And when they got up the next morning, lo and behold, it stank. It had worms in it. It had putrefied. And they were, oh, my goodness, trust and obey. Don't think too hard. You'll mess it up. Trust and obey and be blessed. Oh, I like the sound of that. So it says so many of went out, and they gathered. They gathered. And then God said, now on the Friday evening, as we're coming up on the Sabbath, here's what I want you to do. Now, all during the week, if you got any extra, it would putrefy. But on Friday, she goes, this is the miracle of manna. This is God doing God stuff. He says, you don't understand it because my ways aren't your ways and your thoughts aren't my thoughts. My thoughts are way higher than anything that you ever come up with. He says, on Friday, I want you to put in a double portion so that on the Sabbath, there will be no gathering. God says, think about this. God says, I want you to rest. Oh, my goodness. Church, understand. We can't do for God, but God is constantly doing for us. God said, man, you've been working 6 days. Take a break. Here's a principle for you. I'm going to put a principle on you. Well, no, I think maybe if I work 7 days, that gives me an extra paycheck. Come close. Let me tell you. God said, God said, work six, don't gather on the seventh. He said, because it will not profit you. Go ahead and work 7 days a week if you want to. It will not profit you. God will either take it out in your health, out your pocket, or out your mind. We are not designed to work 7 days a week. God said, I gave you the Sabbath. He said, I gave you 6 days to work and 1 day to rest. He said, because I worked 6 days and I finished and I stopped and I rested. So therefore, I set the pattern for you. But preacher, you don't know how broke I am. Yes, I do. Work six. Give God that seventh day. Does it have to be on Sunday? No. Doesn't have to be on Sunday. Some folks in here work jobs that they have to work on Sunday. You can't get around that. There's emergency stuff. There's this, there's that. You got to work. But God says clearly, work six. And on that seventh day, give it to him. Rest. He says, rest, rest, rest. We keep thinking that we need to work more days, get more hours, and get more money. Here's a principle for you. Here's something that we all, pastor included, here's something that we all need to learn. Maybe, just maybe, I don't know about some of y'all folks really, really good with money. But just maybe, we don't need more money. Oh, preacher. Ain't no such thing as too much money. You crazy, man? No. Maybe we don't need more money. Maybe what we need is better management of the money we make. Did not God promise to give you daily bread? Look at the book. He said, every man gather just what you need for today. And he says, and I will provide. Look at the book. Don't lean on your own understanding. Read the book. Everybody in here has the same 24 hours. We all have the same 24 hours. Some people just do an incredible job of managing their time and their money. The rest of us need to go to their house and watch them. Because he says you don't necessarily need more money. Sometimes you do, but most of the time, we just need to learn how to handle what God has given us. And you'll be amazed. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. This has got to be for 99.9% of the people in this congregation right now. I guarantee you this. If you would spend a little bit more time managing what money you make right now, without any kind of pay increase, managing the money that you make right now, you will give yourself a pay raise. Try it. I guarantee it. Just try it. But what happens is with our mind, we say, well, I just got to work more. God says, work six. Give him that seventh day. God told Moses to speak to the children and let them know what his plan and how he was testing them and how, because of their lack of faith, they weren't understanding what he was talking to them about. Why was it that when God said, only take what you need, why is it they still want to do otherwise? We have to ask ourselves that. Take what you need and leave the rest. Trust and obey. God had told them in verse 23, he had said on Friday, he said, what you do is you just take up twice as much on Friday, and then you either boil it or seethe it, bake it, but put it up, and it will still be good on Saturday. Now, wait a minute. All during the rest of the week, when I kept extra, it would putrefy. But on, if I do what God tells me to do on Friday, he goes, it will survive through Saturday, well, through the Sabbath, and I have everything that I need. God will give you your daily bread. God, don't be so concerned about what am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, and where am I going to sleep. He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about those things. He goes on to talk to the children of Israel in verses 32 through 36. God talks about having a memorial, making the manna for a memorial. He says to the children of Israel, I'll start with 31. He goes, in the house of Israel, called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white. And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. They don't know what it is exactly, but they tell you what it's like. They say it's kind of like coriander. It's the color of coriander seeds. Coriander, in many cultures, it's got several names depending on what culture you're in, but coriander is cilantro. Cilantro. I think I pronounced that right. I just see it on the cooking shows all the time. I don't know. I wouldn't know cilantro from spinach or whatever it is. But that's what they say the color of it is. And it tastes like a honey wafer. And in verse 32, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. We talked about the debilitating effects of murmuring, how it's like tuberculosis and how it just kind of just infects everybody around. And murmuring is just, it's a horrible, infectious thing that people have to stay away from. And we talked about testing, how God, in the midst of our worst situations, whatever the situation that you're dealing with right now, first thing, stop living in the past. Don't try to live in the future. Take care of the present. Take care of what's going on right now. And God will bless you. But now he says, I want you to make a memorial. The manna is a memorial for the children of Israel to keep in the Ark of the Covenant. They were supposed to keep this pot of manna. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells you that the manna was kept in a golden pot. Now, this is where the picture comes in, where you see where a picture is worth a thousand words, where God is, he's telling us the typology. He's showing us the types and the shadows. And you remember where Jesus was talking to the men on the road to Emmaus, and he said the whole Old Testament, the whole Old Covenant was speaking about him. Well, look here, when we see this manna, and we see it in the golden pot, and God told him to preserve it in this golden pot. When you see that, the gold, he's talking about deity. He's talking about deity when you see this golden pot. And when it says in verse 30, 32, it says, and Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed them in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. That they might see the bread. This is a really good theological Bible point, especially for the children of Israel, especially for the Jewish community. God says, I want you to see the pot of manna. The pot of manna is gone. They can't see the pot of manna. God said, I want you to see how I have provided for you from generation to generation to generation. But the pot of manna, according to Scripture, was just a type of something. It was a shadow of something. When I'm in my office, when my family's not here, I got a picture of my wife. I got a picture of my grandchildren. I get a picture of the kids. But I got my wife and I got my grandchildren. I have pictures. I have types of them. But when they're here, I don't go over and kiss my grandkids' picture. I get them because I have them. I don't need the type. I don't need the shadow. I have the real thing right here with me. The Bible says God commanded them to look at how he preserved them in the wilderness. Look at this pot of manna. But they don't have a pot of manna. Well, they don't know they have a pot of manna. Because Jesus says, Yeshua says, I'm the bread of life. You're looking for a little golden pot, but he says, I'm the bread of life. I am the living bread. I am the bread from heaven. Look at Jesus. This is God's provision for the whole world, not just for the Jews. And so we have to say to our Jewish friends and to our Christian friends, you're looking for God's provision. You want to see God's provision in action? Look on the cross. Look on the cross, because they needed, the Jews in the wilderness, they just needed some bread, some water, and some clothes. We need salvation. We need a provision for our most urgent need. Bread and water was their most urgent need. So that's why they asked God for bread and water. We got people out here who don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sins. You think, that's why Jesus says, don't spend so much time on what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Because when you get hung up on those extraneous things, you really do forget about what is your most important and pressing need, which is we need salvation. If you want to know why that boss is such a hellion on the job, because they need salvation. Why your kids won't listen to the thing you say, they done got out the house and they done lost their minds, because they need salvation. And we have to point them. We have to point them to that golden pot of manna. And they're working. You got folks in many denominations, they're working. Ooh, they're working hard to get saved. Oh, they're going to work. Tell them, look, just like the manna, God gave it. He put it out there. Just like the manna, he put it out there. Just like his only begotten son. He put him out there on the cross. No charge to anybody here but God. God says, look at the manna and see my faithfulness. But when you look at the manna and see my faithfulness, I want you to lift your eyes up a little bit higher. And I want you to see my son hanging on the cross. I want you to see him hanging high, stretched wide. And then and only then will you truly understand how great is God's faithfulness and how much he loves you. how much he provides for us in the midst of the most cataclysmic hurricane in our lives. He said, I love you. I love you. And all I want you to do is receive the blessing of my son. If you don't know him, if you don't know him, it's my job to offer him to you. It's my job to try to draw a good enough picture that you can see, that you can see how much God's love just goes so far and so wide. And it's never, it and it will always be, sufficient for every situation that you ever had. God bless you. God keep you. Lift up his holy name.